Hey, what's up, everyone? It is Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. Welcome to Big Screens and TV Streams, live from the Grand Forks Best Source Studios. I'm Dale. Joining me this week, well, being in the studio shortly, Victor's on his way. And producer Paul's here. He'll be here momentarily. Got an awesome show for you lined up today. But, yeah, a lot of cool stuff going on the follow-up. Coming off of Thanksgiving, Paul's joining us here now. Paul, have a good Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Same here.
My liver didn't have a great time with it, but...
Yeah, well, lots of good food, yes. Favorite holiday of the year. Love Thanksgiving. Yeah, Victor's on his way. He'll be here shortly. There's some... before we jump into the thick of things here, there were some cool movie happenings over the last couple of days. You know, I meant to bring it up last week, but it completely slipped my mind. It was the final episode of The Walking Dead. And I believe it was on an 11-season run. Were you ever into Walking Dead at all? It was like the biggest thing for its like first six seasons that had a massive viewership.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was still going. I think I watched it probably up to the fifth season or so, and then I just got bored with it because it was just going nowhere.
That's what I heard. I remember, like, I want to say like the first three or four seasons it was on, everyone was telling me, you got to watch Walking Dead. You got to watch Walking Dead. I played a couple of the games, the seasons of the video games by Telltale. Fantastic video games. I just never got around to Walking Dead. It just seemed like too much buzz. I was like thinking maybe down the line. But yeah, it kept soldiering on. Yeah, it was like I researched some articles going into the final episode a couple of weeks ago just to see some news reports about it. And I guess... After the sixth season, it like trailed off a big dip in viewership, but it kept enough of a baseline viewership just to still pay the bills, and AMC proved it as worthy to keep on the air.
Yeah, I think I stopped watching after Negan.
Yeah, from what it sounded like, the sixth season going into the seventh season was the big catalyst for the drop-off. It said like they left two characters' fates, some fan favorite characters. I'm not a big fan of the show, so I couldn't tell you which ones they were as a big cliffhanger going into the new season. And they turned up for the first episode of the next season. You know, they're gone, they're perished, and everyone wasn't a fan of that. And that's kind of seemed to be like the big sharp turn on the fans for the show.
Yeah. I think that Negan was actually in like a Mortal Kombat game or something, too.
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, it was a 12-year run from when it first premiered on Halloween Day 2010 until just a little after Halloween 2022. So, yeah, 12 years. Yeah, what a run. If anyone in the chat is watching, we want to hear what you have to say. Check us out in the live chat room on GFBS social media channels on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, or Facebook. We want to hear what you have to say. One other thing that caught my eye. Oh, yeah, I guess, you know, The Walking Dead isn't... the main show's gone now, but they still have some spinoffs and all that going on. Fear of the Walking Dead is still going on. And
seriously?
Yep. After eight seasons, and the next... season eight is set to debut next year. And then also next year on AMC, you'll see the premiere of two spinoff shows, Walking Dead, Dead City, a six-episode season set to debut in April, and Daryl Dixon, which is also scheduled to hit next year. It focuses on how Daryl wound up in Paris. So then one other thing I saw this just dropped yesterday evening. Did you see this? The latest trailer for the new Super Mario Brothers movie?
Oh, that came out a long time ago.
Oh, the first trailer came out a couple months ago, but they did a new updated trailer yesterday.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen it.
Because that first trailer only had Mario saying just one line, you know, Mushroom Kingdom, here we come. And there was a big hubbub about, you know, oh, is Chris Pratt worthy of doing Mario? Just a stupid, dumb, just kind of like hardcore video gamer, just outrage or whatever. Did he do it right over just five words or so? But it was dumb. But that first trailer definitely got me... glued in, like, all right, I think it's in good hands. And then they did a more expanded trailer, showed more of the story, several more voice lines from Mario. Not a ton, but enough. A lot of fun Bowser interaction with Luigi there, trying to torture Luigi, good old poor Luigi. And, you know, Bowser's being voiced by Jack Black, and he's nailing it as Bowser. And the more I saw from Mario and Yuri got me, I'm like, all right, you know, Mario's in good hands. People need to stop getting all all tucked out over everything there. So, yeah, super. Yeah, definitely check out this new trailer. I'm super stoked for that.
I'm still bummed that it wasn't live action.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we still got the good old Captain Lou Albano. YouTube, we can find on YouTube, right? See him eating pasta and all that crazy stuff in between setting up cartoons. Yeah, oh my gosh. But yeah, I guess, yeah, speaking of digging into good food, a good place to do that in town is at our friends at Southtown Poorhouse, where every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse. where you want to stop in for your favorite drinks. And, of course, happy hour, where it's buy one app, get one half off every day from 6 to 8 p.m. All kinds of great food going on. And you can't forget about their $3 burgers on Tuesdays and their awesome steak specials on Thursday from 5 to 8. Make sure to check out their website at southtownpoorhousegf.com to find out when your favorite band is playing live. I saw these guys a few weeks ago. They're coming back this Friday. It's Some Shitty Cover Band this Friday. That's the only band playing this weekend. They put on a great show. A lot of 90s, early 2000s kind of pop rock covers. They'll sprinkle in some country and some other things there too. But yeah, they always put on a good show to get the place bop. And make sure to check them out. So every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse. They are located at 2015 Library Circle, next to the Grand Cities Mall, and open Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. Hey, and they're also looking to hire as well, too, if you're looking for an extra part-time, full-time job. Make sure to check them out. All right. So, yeah, I guess we're going to jump into our first review. Victor ain't quite in yet, so we're just going to come back to his first review here a little later here. So, Paul, we'll kick it off with your review here first, here to start off the show. Now, this debuted on Netflix. I was completely unaware of this show. This wasn't on my What's New and Upcoming list guide I usually find, but new Netflix streaming series based on the iconic Addams Family character Wednesday, and how apropos we're talking about it on a Wednesday. So yeah, there we go. For people watching the video stream here, you got the poster there. The whole series, this follows Wednesday Addams' years as a student when she attempts to master her emerging psychic ability, thwart and solve the mystery that embroiled her parents. So, were you a big Addams Family fan when it kind of had that big wave of reemergence and popularity in the early 90s with the two movies?
I've never been a huge Addams Family fan. You know, it's not bad, but I never really got like super into it or anything. You know, I've seen all the movies. I'm familiar with the show and everything like that. But you know, so watching this instantly, I was thinking, okay, well, Tim Burton. You know, can't go wrong there. I don't even know how he's involved in this show because it doesn't have any Tim Burton,
like the fingerprints, his style, yeah, of costumes that are pretty, or makeup that people go, oh, hey, that's like Tim Burton-esque.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they just kind of threw his name on there.
I did a little research. I saw he directed 4 of the 8 episodes. So he was like the main person behind the camera, according to my notes here.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe, you know, he's just not getting as weird with this one. I mean, it's still, you know, it's still good, but it's kind of like, I would think of just an Addams Family Harry Potter. You know, she's going to a school, they got all these different classes, they're all got their own little special abilities, you know, so you got like the...
It's like a gifted school?
Yeah, they call it a gifted school, so you got like werewolves and, you know, vampires and sirens, and you know, she's apparently like a seer, you know, but it's not bad, but at the same time, the more I watch it, the more I'm just kind of getting into the idea, like it seems like kind of like one of those teenage high school movies, you know,
maybe aimed for more young adult audience, like high school or tween age, kind of.
Yeah, and I mean, they try to put some like kind of creepy elements, and it's honestly the best part of the show is Thing.
Thing.
It's just so funny watching just a hand finger around and do things.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Now it's bringing back, I completely forgot about, yeah, gosh, yeah. That is, yeah, oh my gosh. From what I looked up here too, it sounded like they kick off the show like Wednesday is expelled from her normal high school, and then she doesn't really, is this right? She doesn't really develop her powers until like maybe until she, or finds out she has powers until she's in the new school.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it happened. But yeah, I mean, the whole powers thing and everything, it just kind of threw me off when she got into this, you know, gifted school, and then, you know, they're going through the, well, this is the werewolf group, and this is the siren group, and all that kind of stuff. I was like, ah, all right, this is very reminiscent of pretty much any high school
drama, kind of.
Yeah.
And then I guess I saw, too, was, I don't know how big a factor of this is in the show, or maybe it's a small side plot. It sounded like they're trying to play her abilities to come into play to help solve, like, what, at least from what I saw here, maybe a season-spanning or partial season-spanning murder mystery plot or side plot. Is that a big deal, or is it more just a thing off to the side?
No, that's basically what she's doing. I mean, she's, you know, making friends now and, you know, doing the school thing, you know, being, you know, Wednesday Addams, where she's very unemotional, but because she can see things, and there's a monster that's killing people out in the woods, and she's trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with it and everything. And, you know, the special effects are good. It's just, at some points it loses me, but then it'll draw me back in a little bit. You know, I think I'm on episode 5 now. I'm not sure how many episodes are in the season.
I think I saw 8.
Oh, okay. But I mean, it's, you know, it's entertaining enough.
At least worth it to have on in the background or so.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's fantastic by any means. I don't think that she is nearly as good as
Christina Ricci.
As Wednesday, but I don't know. I mean,
I don't know if it's a bigger role or more of a cameo. I saw that Christina Ricci's in here as a supporting character, maybe a smaller role.
Yeah, she's a teacher in there. Oh, and then also,
that's gotta be pretty cool.
I remember back to the Addams Family movie where Wednesday goes to a camp. Well, when she's in that camp, she has that camp leader girl.
Oh, right.
She's also in there, and she's supposed to be Wednesday's psychologist. So they're bringing back a lot of old characters from the original movie as supporting teachers and characters, man, and stuff in this one. So that is kind of neat.
Nice little nods to the past.
Yeah, and then I wanted to say that her mom was, what the heck's her name now?
I don't think I had in my cast character list here. I just got the 6 main actors. Is she a big role, or is she like only really in the first episode?
She's just in like the first couple episodes. Catherine Zeta-Jones? No. Is that her name? She does a really good job as playing her mom, though. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But
would you say it kept... Besides being maybe aimed at a more younger audience, does it seem to capture the spirit of the older shows, kind of the same type of creepiness, weirdness, or just maybe for
I don't. It doesn't really give me the Wednesday vibe. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's just more of like another superhero, supernatural show, just using the Wednesday name.
Crap. That sucks. Well, hopefully people may at least give it a shot. Maybe worth at least check out at least the first episode, maybe.
Oh, yeah. It's entertaining. You know, I would recommend it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have nothing else to watch, go ahead, check it out. I mean, it's not bad. Not great.
I know, I think I was like 8 or 10 or someone. Was Addams Family and Addams Family Values. Those two movies hit in the early 90s. Absolutely ate them up as a kid. And then also they had the cartoon right around the same time for a couple of years. Absolutely loved those.
Addams Family always had kind of a little bit of comedy in there. Mm-hmm. And the comedy in this one just doesn't really hit the mark.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, you got to have that. Yeah, those, as creepy and weird as they were, humor was a big factor in the Addams Family. And I also want to give a shout out to the classic Addams Family pinball machine, one of my favorite pinball tapes.
Oh, yeah, that was a great, great pinball game.
They had an awesome thing, animatronic hand, I guess. Yeah. Great stuff. But, all right, we will keep things moving along here. I'm going to be talking about a new docuseries on HBO and HBO Max, appropriately titled Shaq. So this is a 4-episode docuseries. It just premiered last week there, and they're just doing 1 episode a week. So only the first episode's out now, and it's about an hour. And so, of course, Shaq, I think it's safe to say Shaquille O'Neal's probably one of the, I don't want to say few, but maybe one of probably, if you were to ask, say, walk to any 10 people in the mall, ask them to name 5 basketball players off the top of your head, how many people would you say would name Shaq?
Oh, about 90% of them.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say he's probably right up there with Michael Jordan, LeBron, love or hate him. maybe and a handful of others. But yeah, Shaq, you know, he transcends basketball. The guy's larger than life. I think this is cool. He's getting the HBO docuseries treatment, even if it's just for 4 episodes. I just found out about this like a week ago, too. But yeah, they interview Shaq in this awesome set. I'll duck off to the side for the viewers at home. That's the set they use for the interview. He's on this like big like Morpheus from The Matrix and this big recliner.
Spoiler for you. I watched this.
Oh, you saw it too? Nice. Yep. Heck yeah. I thought it was great. How did you like the disclaimer? This is probably worth pointing out at the beginning, at the start of the first episode, where Shaq makes sure to warn people that he likes to put barbecue, quote-unquote barbecue sauce on his storytelling to help spice it up a little bit so it's not just like, oh, yeah, I went to the basketball game and played a great game. And then he gives an example how he kind of sugarcoats it with all kinds of drama and craziness that seems makes a tale seem larger than life.
Well, that also, I mean, he points it out in his career, too. I mean, he wasn't just playing basketball. He was, you know, if you don't really realize it at the time, but when he points it out, like, he was getting into everything. Like, he was rapping. He was getting into movies. You know, he was really trying to be an entertainer.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't just playing basketball. He was trying to get his fingers in, like, everything.
Yeah, and especially early in his career. I think I was a kid when Shaq broke out of the NBA. I was probably, like, yeah, 9 or 10. And it just seemed right off the bat. Like, I think maybe within his first year with the NBA, that's when he went off and filmed Blue Chips, which is covers two in this documentary. And then he's trying to get those early appearances to get the groundwork laid down for his rap career. Yeah. And how was it? He appeared on Arsenio Hall early in his career, and he was like a background rapper for I forget the rap group, but I absolutely love that. So how did you like how they they interview a ton of people from Shaq's life, family, like high school coaches and classmates, college coaches and classmates, and this covers his childhood through his high school career in the former West Germany and in Texas, and then his college years at LSU and his first 4 years of his NBA career in Magic. That's all episode one covers. Is it just around an hour in length? But I thought it did an appropriate job giving due diligence to each era of his career there.
Yeah, and I mean, I had no idea that, you know, so he was raised by a military father,
yeah,
that really just pushed him to the limit. And, you know, his real father, he just kind of discarded him. The guy just all of a sudden showed up out of the shadows when he was starting to get famous. But it was kind of interesting, you know, seeing Shaq when he started to where he's not, because he was like way thinner.
Yeah.
You know, the guy like doubled in size.
It's easy to forget those, like, if you look up old clips from his college days and like his first 4 years in the Magic, he was very agile.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, so it just kind of shows him like how big he was when he was just even coming out of high school. And then, you know, how he progressed into the NBA. I mean, people would just foul him so he couldn't even shoot, and that's why he went into the NBA.
Yeah, actually, I thought that was good. Like, I really love the stuff where he talks about, I don't want to jump over too quick, but yeah, his stuff with the high school stuff was really good, and how he got into high school basketball first in West Germany there, doing the military traveling, and then in Texas. I loved how they covered his high school years. But yeah, like, he talked about how he made really good friends with the coach, the LSU coach. What was his name? I don't have it on from me, but yeah. And like how the coach, he met him early in his career, and the coach vouched for him and inspired him to be his best. And so
was it Patrick Riley?
Oh, no. That's one of the guys that was interviewed that coached him while he was with the Lakers. I know I had it in my original notes, but probably not here. But yeah, it was, yeah, I don't have it from me. But yeah, his LSU coach, that was really good too. And like, they showed the clip, kind of like how you mentioned that. I like how he first said his mom convinced him to play a third year of college ball because, all right, you want to play pro ball, Shaq? Balance this checkbook.
Yeah.
Shaq's, I can't do it. And then after the third year, they showed that awesome clip with his coach saying, I'm actually recommending Shaq not finish college because players are, like you said, fouling him to stop him from dunking all the time. And so the coach is like, I'm concerned for his career. If he's going to take this much damage making points, I want him to get paid for it. So really great point and heck of a quote to have his coach step up for him like that.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting too when he said that, you know, his, like, Magic Johnson was kind of his idol. Mm-hmm. And so he's out there on the court and he's trying to throw the fancy passes and everything. And his dad just looked at him and he said, F that.
Be Shaq.
Dunk the ball.
Yeah. I thought it was a great story, too, on how, like, a big turning point for his career, you know, be that alpha male.
Yep.
And, yeah, and then, yeah, how they cover his Orlando Magic year, those first 4 years, how he kind of shocked everyone real early in his career, beating Michael Jordan in the 95 conference finals. I love how that was talked about. And then, you know, unfortunately, how things didn't work out with the Orlando Magic and that off-and-on rivalry with Penny Hardaway, who's also interviewed in here. A lot of good quotes for him. And it sounds like those two have kind of reconciled since their unfortunate falling out from way back when. But
yeah, I totally forgot about Penny.
Yeah.
Because he was huge back then, too.
Yeah, and the people they interview in here, yeah, like I said, coaches, teammates, it's great to see these reflections all these years later, especially for an athlete that's worthy of this docuseries treatment. I'm definitely going to check out I came out of this super high, just buzzing off this first episode like I was similar to how we were about Winning Time on HBO Max.
That's what I was just going to bring up, saying, you know, next season of Winning Time.
Yep.
I bet you this is a segue into it.
Oh, I hope so. That would be some really good synergy. So, yeah, definitely high recommendation. They still got 3 more episodes left. Yeah, I think the new episodes drop, I want to say Thursdays or Fridays there. Check it out on HBO Max or on HBO. It's just called Shaq. Can't miss it. All right, so we would also like to give a quick heads up to help support help support GFBS by checking out the donate link on top of GFBestSource.com website, or leaving Grand Forks Best Source a review on the Google or your favorite podcast app. Both are great ways to help support GFBS, and we want to thank each and every one of you for your support and making us a part of your day. And yeah, I guess another person we want to thank too are our friends at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, where life doesn't seem to ever slow down. Everything needs to be done right now. And when it comes time for an oil change, make sure to stop into Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Do you do a lot of traveling over last Thanksgiving weekend? Now would probably be a good time to make sure your vehicle's still in tip-top shape, where most oil changes are done within 15 minutes. And Valvoline Instant Oil Change does more too, with transmission and coolant flushes, tire rotations and batteries. And included in your oil change, they'll top off your fluids, check your tires, battery, lights and wipers, and cabin air filter. You'll get discounts for fleets and the military. And they could text and email invoices and coupons too. So, and best of all, if you mention GFBS, you'll get $10 off your oil change. So Valvoline Instant Oil Change, they're open Monday through Saturday with no appointment needed. And pickup and delivery is available in Grand Forks too. So stop into Valvoline Instant Oil Change for a complete oil change and more. They are located at 3325 South 38th Street, or call 701-780-8462 and tell them GFBS sent you. All right. So I guess coming up next, we're kind of shifting things around here. Let's talk about Paul. I think I watched one other show here I'm going to give a review for here, because I don't know if you remember me talking about in the upcoming streaming releases for the following last week here. Fleshman in Trouble, the new FX series, and it's also streaming on Hulu, or you can watch new episodes on cable as they air on FX, with Jesse Eisenberg and Claire Danes as the two main stars, kind of them going through a divorce. And early in they got the first 3 episodes dropped on Hulu, and it's going to be an 8-episode season, but they're kind of going through the early stages of divorce and all the joys of dropping kids off for visitations over the weekends and that, and they're just going at it, things aren't working out, and then his wife just abandons the relationship, just stops showing up for picking up the kids, leaves him with his kids, and Jesse Eisenberg just kind of has to completely reinvent his life to be there for his kids. And I mentioned last week how just checking out the preview for this reminded me of this, the classic Dustin Hoffman movie, Kramer versus Kramer, Best Picture winner, and just the crazy, just going through, being a child of divorce, as I see the quote thrown around a lot, just to see filmmakers tackle this with kind of no holds barred. Kramer versus Kramer is a serious drama. This one, they kind of inject a little bit of comedy or dark comedy in here, and it kind of has a little bit of a side plot of Jesse Eisenberg trying to focus on life after divorce, on like dating apps and kind of like a out and about sexual lifestyle, being active in that with some friends, is kind of nudging him to move along in his life. But the show was crazy, because the first episode is all about them kind of going through the divorce, or first like months or so into the divorce, and then his wife just stops showing up, and at first he's thinking, oh no, we had a bad argument. This is just one of her moods. She'll be back in a day or two. Then all of a sudden it's 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and he's all of a sudden having to take a personal day he's a doctor, so he's having to take a couple of personal days and finding out, bank accounts are not, and all that. And just seeing how it's all played out was, I think they did a pretty good job with it. Again, this is mature content, mature dialogue. Paul, do you remember the TV show Ally McBeal? Kind of a little blast from the past from the 90s on Fox.
Well, I know of Ally McBeal. I never watched it.
I remember seeing a few episodes. But I remember it was kind of like a groundbreaking show for trying to tackle serious subject matter, courtroom stuff, but also injecting kind of mature content into there a bit. And that kind of reminded me of this, what they're kind of going for, But since it's FX, later airtime and all that, they do swearing on here and probably more push of the envelope style content than Ally McBeal did way back in the day.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen Kramer versus Kramer either.
Oh, my gosh.
But this sounds like an interesting show.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Jesse Eisenberg is full-on Jesse Eisenberg. I think if people are familiar with him, you know what I mean by that. If you've seen him in, of course, The Social Network, just kind of talking a mile a minute or just being super anxious and jittery. He's that to the 10th level in this film because he's either constantly freaking out or he's just constantly nervous and on the ropes. My life is falling apart. Because in the second and third episodes kind of show, they do a lot of time jumping in their relationships, showing them, just as they're kind of getting in the puppy dog honeymoon phase of their romance to their marriage gradually starting to crumble, seeing some cracks weave in there and getting in arguments with friends and family on the side. And then just things just totally taking a horrible, horrible turn. And, it's a hard watch. They do inject some comedy and some laughs in here, but it's not like a heavy-duty, full-on comedy. I think it's just more to give people some breathing room to get ready for the next crazy scenes ahead. But, I would definitely recommend it just going off the first three episodes. It's only 8 episodes, so it's not like a heavy commitment. And, I'll definitely be sticking with this. So, it's called Fleshman in Trouble. It's on streaming on Hulu, or you can watch new episodes on FX. All right, so we're just going to keep on rolling along here to kind of noteworthy and upcoming theatrical and streaming new releases. So the Christmas movies, they're coming full on force here, Paul. We mentioned last week, I was tempted to watch, A Christmas Story Christmas last week? But I was like, because we mentioned how it debuted on HBO Max last week. And even part of me wanted to see that Spirited movie that Victor reviewed last week, too, because I heard from a couple other people that, hey, this is actually a really good musical, a Christmas musical. But I got to wait a little closer to Christmas. It seems just a little too early. Are you still on hard avoid on that Christmas Story Christmas?
I hate Christmas movies. Absolutely hate them.
They're a guilty pleasure of mine. I'll put like a couple, like Netflix has some really, they always get a bunch of low budget ones each season, like several of them. And like they had one that was actually kind of semi-decent with Kurt Russell. I forget the name of it.
But, Santa Claus?
Kurt Russell was Santa Claus, but I forget the name of it. Then they did a sequel. The sequel wasn't as good like a year later, but the first one was actually pretty solid. So we got more of them coming. Here's the one on Disney Plus hitting this week. The Hip Hop Nutcracker, where this fresh modern take blends much of the traditional music amba ballet with hip hop choreography and dancers that include Maria Clara and the Jabberwockies as part of the Snowflake Ensemble. And tying the whole thing together is your MC for the show, Rev Run of Run DMC.
That sounds like garbage fire.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you a fan of the original Nutcracker?
The one with Macaulay Culkin?
I guess I'm blanking out. I wasn't like in like the 30s or 40s or something like that.
Oh, yeah. No, but there was a...
Are you thinking Home Alone maybe?
No. It's really funny because there's the Nutcracker musical. And a lot of people don't realize it, but if you watch it, Macaulay Culkin is actually in that. He's like the prince or something.
Oh, like a smaller role or something before he got big or so?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He has like literally like nothing to do except... Like he does, all he does is like sit in a chair.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, he's in the What is it? The
it's probably like late 80s, early 90s before Home Alone.
Yeah, 80s.
Oh man, wow. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, he was probably 5 years old.
Oh wow! So this was even before he got his. I remember his first role. He kind of got a little bit of prominence in before he got big in Home Alone. Was I always remember Uncle Buck?
Oh yeah.
And so this is probably even before Uncle Buck.
Oh, yeah. This is probably like his first thing he ever did.
Oh, my gosh. I'll have to look up a scene in that. That sounds awesome. Another movie I got hitting this week here, a documentary on HBO Max called Love, Lizzo, for all you hip-hop fans.
Oh, my God. Gag me.
Yeah. It chronicles the hip-hop artist Lizzo from childhood to rise to fame and hammers home the message that's woven through her music about the importance of being true to yourself and embracing everything that makes you different.
And diabetes.
I know. I'm not a... I only know a couple of her songs. I'm not like a big hip-hop into the latest and greatest from Lizzo, but I figure we probably got some crossover fans, so make sure I figure and mention it on
there.
She
could just go away.
Paul gives a hard pass.
Yeah, she can just go away.
All right, well, here's a different document, not a documentary, but
I just lost my appetite.
Another docuseries on Showtime, and that's called Meet Me in the Bathroom, where it's a docuseries focusing on three bands from like the 90s and early 2000s, the Yeah Yeahs, the Strokes, and Interpol. Familiar with these bands, Paul? Yay, nay?
Oh, of course I am.
Oh, yeah. I remember listening to these and playing a lot of these bands in the video games Rock Band and Guitar Hero, and of course their music, too. It features archival footage and interviews with the bands and their fellow colleagues and peers of the time. So, you know, if I had Showtime, this would sound like a must-see. Next up, we got the Cuphead Show. I think I talked about this last week, right? Cuphead Show Season 3.
Yeah, you already covered that one.
Yep, I accidentally carried it over. In theaters, I know I missed this last Friday, so I brought it over for this week. It's called Strange World, and it's in theaters now, and it's about the Clades. They're a legendary family of explorers whose differences threaten to topple their latest and most crucial mission into uncharted and treacherous territory, and it's directed by Don Hall and starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Dennis Quaid, and Gabriel Union. So kind of sounds like a swashbuckling adventure movie, like an Indiana Jones style.
Yeah, don't take your kids to this one.
No, you heard about this one?
Yeah, it's a gay teen romance.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, okay, I guess I did not see. I only caught like half the preview. I just read the synopsis.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to put that in there.
Okay.
But yeah, the movie is basically, it's geared towards kids, and the underlying plot of it is it's a gay teen romance in animated form. So don't take your kids to it.
Wow.
And don't subscribe to Disney.
Pretty much
anything that has to do with Disney, just keep your kids away from it.
Okay, yeah, Disney is continuing down this path. All right, so next up in theaters this Friday is Violent Night, where an elite team of mercenaries breaks into a family compound on Christmas Eve, and they're taking everyone inside hostage. However, they aren't prepared for a surprise combatant, Santa Claus. He's on the grounds, and he's about to show why this Nick is no saint.
This looks so stupidly fun.
It's directed by Tommy Mercola and starring David Harbour. I love David Harbour. John Leguizamo and Alex Hassel. You saw previews for this?
Yeah, it's like a Santa Claus horror movie.
Oh my gosh, I'm all about it. I know next week for Weird Cinema, Icky is doing starting the first of three Christmas theme weird spooky movies, and one of them's gonna, I think it's not for this Friday but next Friday, it's going to be Silent Night Deadly Night 3. So speaking of Christmas themed spooky movies, we don't get too many of them, it seems, these days. So yeah, this could be, it seems like potential good candidate for the season, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I think it'll be hilarious.
I think I may be up for seeing some Christmas spooky movies. All right. We're going to give a quick shout out to our next friend here at First Community Credit Union, where you have been dreaming about your forever home, well, forever, right? Well, now's the time to make that dream a reality. Now's the time to contact Craig Venske, mortgage loan officer with First Community Credit Union. Craig can make your home buying dreams come true with quality service. First Community Credit Union can help you with all of your home buying needs. So make your forever home dream come true by contacting Craig Venske at First Community Credit Union. The phone number is 701-757-6805 or email craig.venske@myfccu.com. That's First Community Credit Union, Equal Housing Opportunity. All right, we're going to wind things down with some quick takes for the week. Just kind of what you've been watching this past week or plan on watching soon. I know, Paul, you've been keeping up with Tulsa King still?
Oh, yeah. Yep. They rolled out, episode 3?
Yep.
On this last Sunday? Yeah, I know. I was glad to see they kind of brought it back to a little bit more seriousness.
I was going to ask you. I thought this was a big step up.
Yeah, yeah. So the second one kind of had me shying away, but the third one, they brought it back home for me.
Yeah.
So hopefully the fourth one doesn't, hopefully it's not just, you know, doing this every
a lot of fluctuating, just like, all right, this episode's great. This next episode, oh, why am I watching this?
Yeah, this one actually started to get into some gangster stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Fan of good old-fashioned car chases. There is a killer car chase in this episode.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm definitely looking forward.
Yeah, when he's applying to get his license.
Yeah, his driver's test. Yeah. And the guy who was the driver instructor was hamming it up just right, being over the top, but not too over the top. He was perfect.
One thing I like, he's been doing a really good job. Like, I think Sylvester Stallone I don't think that he is like Hollywoodish. Like, he kind of leans towards not that whole wokeness thing, because he's got a lot of things that he says in here and brings up that make a lot of sense. And like, there's one part in this latest episode where he's completely spot on, where he's talking about the kid going to college. And the kid's like, well, why would I go to college, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, college, all it is to show an employer that you could focus on something for 4 years, show up on time, do the job, and then get your degree. So it has nothing to do with, like, what you learned in classes or anything. It just has to show that you're dedicated to actually, like, performing work. And then in the meantime, you get laid a lot, you know,
and you party. Yeah.
But I mean, when he said that, I was like, it's spot on, you know, I mean.
Yeah. Like, the way he carries his character in here, when it comes to that, to tackling that kind of content or issues, it reminds me of, you know, kind of like Johnny Lawrence's character in Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of tackles it the same way, where he's like, hey, I'm not saying I'm for this, I'm against this, I'm just kind of running my lifestyle, just being a good person, I'm just not trying to preach it.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely, I'm kind of with you in the same boat. Yeah, I really like how they handle it on the show here. So yeah, what else have you been watching lately? Any other quick takes for the week?
No, it's pretty much Wednesday is all I've been able to really catch, because I mean, we've been so busy with, you know, Thanksgiving parties and family in town and all that kind of stuff. So, basically, I've only had a couple hours a night to watch something, and then Wednesday is the only thing I can really find that's on right now. I mean, I watch that, you know, I watch the Shaq thing, but then with that and Wednesday, I really haven't seen anything else that has curbed my interest yet.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. It seems like, yeah, same here. Some weeks, there's like, oh, I got like maybe 8 to 10 hours to watch stuff. Other weeks, I'm only like 2 to 3 hours to watch stuff.
Yeah, and then I kind of told myself I wouldn't, but I've been falling back into it, and it's great for doing laundry and chores, but I've been watching Sunday Night Football.
Oh, yeah. So, there you go. And okay, nice background stuff there, catch some good plays.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, if you're watching football, that takes up a majority of your viewing time for anything else.
Yeah, 3-hour game. I watched, you know, of course, Thanksgiving, you know, Vikings were on in a pretty good close game with the Bills. And yeah, that was a lot of fun watching that on Thanksgiving night. So
yeah, the games actually haven't been, they've been pretty entertaining, honestly.
Yeah, a lot of close Vikings games this season. So I saw that. And then I also, I guess, you know, keeping up, there's 2 straight weekends with wrestling pay-per-views. It was WWE Survivor Series War Games. You remember the old school WCW pay-per-views, Paul, with their version of the cage matches, War Games, with 2 rings and a big cage around it?
No.
So yeah, WWE brought...
I wasn't a huge wrestling fan.
Yeah, WWE brought that into their show for like the first time on the WWE main stage. So that was kind of cool seeing that. They did a lot of crazy spots, wrestlers beating each other up in cages. It was a pretty good show, pretty solid show. But yeah, that took up a lot of time. And then, yeah, other than that, everything else I've seen has been covering the show. And then, oh, I guess I did catch, like, I think an episode of a half, still gradually picking away at that NASCAR docuseries, Race for the Championship on Peacock. Really good stuff, really digging that. So, but yeah, other than that, I guess we will wrap it up. Nice quick show this week, so... Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to today's episode of Big Screens and TV Streams. For more coverage on other GFBS shows, make sure to check out this Friday's episode of Midwest Super Pixel Pros. It's going to be a Nickelodeon-themed episode where we'll be playing and talking about the brand-new Nickelodeon Kart Racer 3 and their fighting game, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. You don't want to miss it. On Fork Sports Highway, Monty and the crew are back after taking last week off, and they got a lot of stuff to catch up on, a lot of NFL talk, a lot of NBA talk, a lot of UND basketball and football talk. You don't want to miss it. And this week's weird cinema selection, we mentioned it a little earlier, Well, next week we'll start the Christmas spooky movies special, but this Friday we're going to be talking about the Mickey Rourke 2008 redemption film, The Wrestler. Really great movie liked by wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans alike. You don't want to miss it. So all this and more you can find out by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast, social media, and streaming audio apps. So with that, we want to thank today's sponsors at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, Southtown Poorhouse, and First Community Credit Union. And we welcome you to join us live for all future episodes every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on gfbestsource.com, or find past episodes by subscribing to Grand Forks Best Source everywhere you find podcasts. And as mentioned earlier, help support GFBS by hitting that donate link on top of the gfbestsource.com webpage, or leaving us a 5-star review on Google or your favorite podcast app. So, Paul, many thanks.
Yep, happy to do it. Looking forward to new stuff that's coming out. I'm really looking forward to Avatar.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's ticking down, man. It's almost, what was that, not this weekend, but next weekend, right?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, yeah, 10 years in the making sequel. Get ready, get stoked.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be showing up in blue paint, right?
Yeah.
All right, many thanks all of you for having us part of your day. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.